So we continue in Matthew chapter 6. So if you want to flick to the right page, Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25, or else you can read from the screen. And even as we've been singing about God's goodness and how great he is and how loving he is, here's Jesus trying to teach the people who are listening to him as he gives this Sermon on the Mount to reflect on the sort of God that they have and his goodness. And it's entitled, Do Not Be Anxious. And from verse 25, Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Is what one of the very encouraging messages that Jesus gives when he tries to teach us to reflect on just how good God is and to reorientate ourselves, not to be worried about, overly worried about the cares of life, but to remember first and foremost just how much God loves us, and to live in that reality and not in the reality of the turmoil and uncertainty and anxiety that this world often has to offer. I noticed that when I was Google searching this topic, there are polling organizations that try to look at what people around the world worry about, and actually they have some interesting breakdowns of different countries and you know which what the majority of the people are most worried about in different countries. And I won't put any of the data up, but it was interesting. You know, people worried about employment or terrorism or food. And it's also interesting looking at the trends. But one thing which it did say was when it averaged all of the countries and it looks at the world's worry list, as it was called, in September 2018, the five top things which was listed was unemployment, poverty, social inequality, crime, violence, and financial political corruption. These were the top five things, and in general, those top five things are fairly similar across almost all countries. It's like we all have very similar concerns. And often, I heard a picture once of sometimes life is like, you know, you're driving down the road and then you know, you've got these red lights which flash up on your car and orange lights and, you know, finances, got to worry about that, family, children, work, colleagues, family. Maybe I already said family. Sometimes family causes us double trouble. And it's like we're driving through our lives, through the journey of our lives, and we're bombarded by all of these warnings which flash up before us. And another thing which a lot of people agree about is that actually often governments and powers that be, or in the past, or also still today, but not in this country, dictators and people who rule with a heavy fist, often like people being worried about particular things because it takes the focus off perhaps how they're running the country and focus on worrying about something else. And it's often discussed that political leaders like a good war and that takes the people's minds off the focus of their own country and worrying about, you know, these bad things going elsewhere. And so it's often not just something which we have to deal with just in our own personal lives, but it's often a game which is played on the political stage of trying to make us worry and concern about other things. And as we reach this point in our passage, it's kind of reaching around the middle of the Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount. And Graham was sharing with a number of us yesterday, and I'll just steal it because it seemed fitting. But the Sermon on the Mount kind of ramps all the way up to this point where God says, or Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and money. You know, this is like the central point of this message. And then ramps back down again. And Jesus says many things, but right in the center of this is the fact you cannot serve God and money. And Sheena was sharing about that last week. And through chapter 6, there's many contrasting kind of images that Jesus gives. You know, he's talking about heavenly treasures or earthly treasures. You know, our eyes being the gateway of good or the gateway of evil. The picture of living our lives in the light or living our lives in the darkness. Living our lives for God or living our lives for money. Living our lives with worry, as we see in this passage, living our lives with faith. Seeking earthly things or seeking God's kingdom. And Jesus keeps putting these contrasting images and is inviting us, you know, come and live in my kingdom. Come and live life in a new way. Even the subject of our series, a new way of being human. Jesus is inviting us to live with a different set of values, a different set of goals, and a different mindset, and a different thing that our eyes and our hearts are focused on. And Jesus really takes the issue of money very seriously. I mean, he seems to be telling us that, you know, money can really affect our spiritual life. Our possessions, the things around us, have a significant power to take our focus off God and onto other things. And so Jesus spends a lot of his time speaking about these kind of two issues which we have to fight against in our lives in relation to money. And last week we were looking at, you know, the focus of our life. You know, you cannot both serve God and money. You either love one and hate the other, but you cannot love both. You cannot serve both. And then even this week, it's actually very, very similar. We might be thinking, well, we're not stinking rich, and so maybe we don't need to worry that Jesus isn't talking to us. You know, do we love money? But here Jesus goes a step deeper and says, well, you know, where are your concerns? Where are your worries? Where are, you know, what are the things which plague your mind? And these things also can have the same power over us. It's not just about, do you have money and possessions, but are you filling your life with worry about your money, possessions, where your food is coming from, all these things? And this is one of the things which I always find fascinating with Jesus and the religion, if we can call it that, that he calls us into, because many faiths call people into a set of beliefs and rules which you have to stick to. And Jesus always seems to take it to a much higher level. It's not about having a list of things that you have to tick off. But Jesus says, no, it's about your heart. And this is in stark contrast to the Jewish people of the time that may have been listening to Jesus. You know, they were so obsessed with the Torah and the book of the law, trying to work out, you know, when should I eat? When should I fast? How should I fast? How should I give my money? You know, how should I raise my family? They wanted everything written so that they knew that they wouldn't break any of God's rules. And, you know, other religions follow similar suits. You know, one of the things which Muslims find very difficult about Jesus' teaching is that he doesn't kind of lay things out. And he speaks of parables, talks about the heart. But, you know, they also want to follow a set of rules and they want things written out specifically. But, you know, we've been looking in recent weeks, that Jesus always seems to take it to new levels. It's not about, you know, do not commit murder. Okay, we'll tick that one off. No, he says, you know, do not have hatred in your heart. You know, do not commit adultery. No, do not look in a lustful way. You know, it's not about just our actions, but it's about the deepest, darkest thoughts in our hearts and our minds. And Jesus calls us to a higher form of living. And that's what Jesus is trying to do here, taking our focus off the worldly things and onto God. And so that's why Jesus, when he doesn't come to abolish the law, he doesn't come to, you know, destroy all the old rules that people were trying to set. But Jesus says, when he comes to fulfill it, he comes to raise us through his grace, because we'll never meet his law perfectly or live lives perfectly. But through his grace, he wants to raise us to have that right relationship with God. So what does it mean for us? And as we go through this series, what does it mean, a new way to be human, and to be human as Jesus is calling us here? Well, maybe it's just worthwhile reflecting on, you know, what are the things which cause you anxiety? What are the things which plague your mind? What is it that wakes you up in the middle of the night? And even as I was reflecting on this, I was thinking myself that I used to see myself as having a problem of not getting stressed and anxious enough about things. And I remember when I left school, I never had stressed about exams. I just went in, and that's partly why my exam results weren't as good as they probably should have been. But I actually couldn't physically get worried about it. It wasn't until I went to university and they kept failing me, and then I started thinking, oh no, I really need to study. And then by the end, you know, I was getting that usual, you know, feeling sick before doing my exams. And then even now, as many of you know, I'm a very disorganized person, and so in order to remember the things which I have to work on through the week, or have to chase the people who work with me in my team in the university, I often have to kind of get myself worried and anxious about things. I think that's partly because my old bosses used to be like firefighters. They were always like stressing about the next thing and running over here and like, okay, we fixed this. And then they fixed this. And then we're like, okay, let's, oh no, there's a disaster over there. And everyone would be over here stressing about this particular thing. And I think probably I've adopted some of that. And I use that as a tool to try and get me through life. And so sometimes stress and anxiety can serve a purpose. But as I was going through a harder time in my previous job, Graham's looking confused here. You're wondering where I'm going. In my previous job, you know, that got too much, because I was working in quite a dysfunctional environment. And as many of you know, I wasn't particularly happy. And I probably ended up then relying on other things around. So during the day, that often would be far too much coffee. And then sometimes at night, that might be one or two whiskies to try and calm the mind, because it was always racing. And this is like a really bad thing. You get swept away into, you know, anxiety, trying to find ways to cope with it. And then, you know, some people in the church were good at running and stuff, and we were all encouraging each other to take exercise, and life became more balanced, and I got a new job. But anyway, it was, even as I was reflecting on my own life, I've used anxiety for my own benefit. And also I've seen the reality of when it drags you in and takes your focus away from God and takes away your peace. Tom Wright, a theologian, writes about this passage in Reflection. He says that when Jesus urged his followers to put God first in their lives, it's important to realize which God Jesus is talking about. Our Heavenly Father isn't a dictator who doesn't care about food or drink or clothes or life or beauty. He's the God who takes care of the birds, the God who lavishes beautiful clothing on wild flowers, the God who created this amazing world and filled it with wonder and mystery and beauty and energy and excitement, everything we need for life in all its fullness. Jesus is talking about the God who just wants us to enjoy all the good things he's provided for us, the God who just wants us to trust him, to love him, to receive all the good things he longs to give us. God is a generous provider. Reading again the verses from this passage, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? One of the things I'm just going to touch on very briefly is that passage used to often confuse me, because I was like, well, there are still people starving in the world, and, you know, does God provide? And I was reflecting on this, just in case it's also going through your minds. You know, God has provided a world full of resources, more than able to provide for all of us. And it's worthwhile remembering that, you know, it's mankind's selfishness which doesn't allow that to be distributed fairly amongst people. And Jesus himself wasn't pretending that God just, you know, provides food and clothing and everything for people in daily lives, that, you know, he acknowledges that there's famines, there's poverty, there's wars, there's conflict, but he calls us to be the answer to that. God, again, is not a dictator who's just going to come down and wave a magical wand, fix it all, because otherwise then we no longer have free will. But God's given this amazing world full of beauty and resources. And I'm not going to show it yet, but I've got a series of pictures which I want us just to reflect on, and I'll show them at the end. But the first picture is of Angel Falls, from the animation Up. You know, you attach the helium balloon to your house and you fly off. If you look at the ticket he had, it said Venezuela. And Venezuela is where my wife is from and her family are from. It's hard to imagine a country with greater resources and greater beauty than that country, and yet so many people in poverty and hungry, and yet again just shows again the wonderful way in which God provides, but often the terrible way in which mankind messes things up. But Jesus here is inviting us to have a different perspective. He's asking us to not be focused down on all the work and all the graft that has to be done, worrying about the things here. You know, he's not saying to stop doing these things. He's saying, but raise your eyes away from the ground and, you know, look up to the skies. Look at the birds. Look around you at the fields. Look at the beauty. Look how God has made all this stuff. And reflect on it. Change your perspective. And I love the way in which Jesus, you know, adds on that really practical thing, which seems so obvious. He says, you know, don't worry, because no matter how much you worry, you'll never add a single hour to your life. You know, such a simple thing, which he says. So Jesus says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And so Jesus is reminding us to have a new perspective, to realize God's provision for us. And even as he's talking about, you know, the grass and the lilies, you know, these are things which come and go. You know, in the winter when things are all died back, we don't lose hope thinking, oh, it's the end of the world, you know, because we know that spring will come again, and probably summer, maybe not in Scotland this particular year, but eventually summer comes again and the weather gets warm and sunny, you know. And even in our own lives, you know, we should reflect back on how God has provided for us in the past, seeing all the ways in which God has done stuff for us. And again, to remove the perspective of just looking at the stuff around us and getting caught up with the anxiety and the stress, but reflect on how God's provided in the past. Trust that he will provide in the future. Another writer called Gary Collins writes, "The person who learns to walk in daily contact with God comes to agree with the hymn writer who wrote, I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." And so God is a generous provider. God also calls us to be people of faith, to believe and to trust that he will provide for us. And then the third thing which I want us to reflect on is that Jesus again reminds us that it's a choice. We have to seek the correct kingdom. Like, this is not, you know, some gray area, you know, you're kind of slightly closer to God or not. No, he very much says, you know, are you part of the kingdom of this world, caught up with the anxieties and the stresses of this world? Or are you going to let your perspective be be changed? Are you going to move your feet into the camp of being in the kingdom of God, where you understand that He is the God who loves, the God who provides, the God that we can have faith in, the God that we can depend on? You know, which camp are you standing in? So again, Jesus' words just repeating from that passage. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious enough for itself. And so there's a new way of being human. There's a new kingdom that God has called us to be a part of. That kingdom has a new set of perspectives which depend on God's goodness, on God's faithfulness, His love, His provision for us. And Jesus invites us continually to be in that kingdom and to be part of that kingdom. The kingdom of this world will fill you with anxiety. The kingdom of God will free you from anxiety. And so I ask again, who are you entrusting your lives to today? And again, it's the test of, you know, what plagues your mind, what wakes you up in the middle of the night? Who are you entrusting your life to? Is it to this world and the promises that this world tries to give, as shallow as they often are? Or are you entrusting your life to God? And again, another writer says this when they're reflecting on Jesus saying, you know, even the Gentiles worry about, the non-believers, those who aren't part of God's kingdom, they worry about all these things, the daily turmoils. And a writer says this, and if we are like this, like the Gentiles, like the non-believers, we are definitely in the wrong place for relief of anxiety of our lives, because we are entrusting ourselves to a world that might pretend to care for us, but actually just wants more from us, more of our money, more of our time, more of our life, and certainly doesn't care about the anxiety that it causes. No, the kingdom is to be in where there's someone who genuinely cares about our anxiety, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the God who loves us enough to die on the cross for us, and as a result, someone we can really trust in and say, cast your anxieties, cast your cares onto Him, and do not be anxious about a thing. So God provides, God has faith, and we are to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. There are a few pictures which I just want us just to spend a few moments on each one and just reflect. And I will give a nod to Kevin to move to the next slide. The first picture, consider. 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 Let's pray. Yeah, we just stand amazed. And as we look around at all creation and just the thought and the beauty that you put into all creation, the way in which, Father, that you provide for us, you've created this beautiful world for us. Even as we think of the love, Jesus, that you had when you came to this world, you came to a world that would reject you, You came to a world who would not understand, who would not listen, and yet you still came and you spoke of the love of God. And you invited us to enter into your kingdom, to lay down the cares and the anxieties, to enter into a kingdom of love, a kingdom of light, a kingdom of truth, the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you laid down your life for us, that you loved us so much that you gave up everything. Forgive us when we get wound up and anxious and worried about life, the cares of this world, the demands that are pressed upon us. Forgive us when we've allowed that to distract us from our focus from you. But this morning we just spend a few moments and we consider all that you've done for us through creation, through giving us life, through your Son, through your cross and resurrection. We just thank you that you are the God who loves and you're the God who provides. Help us to reorientate our gaze away from the things of this world and our gaze to your kingdom. We want to be men and women of faith, relying on you, God, knowing that you love us and that you provide. We want to be people of your kingdom, just walking in your light and in your love. Take our lives again. We give them to you. Into your loving, eternal, and everlasting arms that will never let go, never fail us, never abandon us. We give our lives into your loving arms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.